This week, as we take up the offering, we find ourselves in an interesting position. We are thinking about many new possibilities for our congregation. As spring has arrived here, at least according to the equinox, all sorts of things have been popping up out of the ground here of Fews, metaphorically. You hear some of it from Mary Ann. And we heard last week that the pledge drive had met its goal here in March, which is early, gives us time to be ready for our budgeting. Well, between last week and this week, we have slightly exceeded our pledge drive for the goal for the pledge drive. So now we get to think about, what do we want to put that little bit of extra money toward? There are many possibilities here of good things that we could do together. I think having a year when we're a little bit ahead of where we set a goal is just a beautiful sign for how much is afoot here, how much possibility is breaking out, and how much we think we can do together. So this morning, during the offering time, I invite you to write down your joys and sorrows on these cards. You'll find them tucked into the hymnal racks, mostly along the center aisle, but I noticed that they spread along the hymnal racks. Write your joys and sorrows down on these and bring them up to our Tree of Life bowl. The other thing that you are invited to do, we have multiple uses for these cards. If you are still thinking about the ways we are doing spoken joys and sorrows, there are two questions written in the order of service about what you think or feel about our process of having people come and stand up front with me for that. And I would like to hear your thoughts about that as well. And so you can write that down on these cards also, and also put them here, and I'll sort out the joys and sorrows I will read aloud, and these we will hang on a bulletin board and talk about in a couple of weeks. You are welcome, as always, to light a candle for a joy or a sorrow, a memory or a hope during this time. The morning offering for the many possibilities of this congregation will now be received. We hear of sorrows out in the world, some of which are hard to even get ourselves to think about. And we hear of the joys of people taking steps of courage, and of just the sweetness of finding each other in this world. I invite you into a time of meditation or stillness with these words. I am awake in the night, worrying about the mistakes and the losses. And then in the dark, I hear a bird wake and begin to mutter to its neighbors. I must have dozed, because then they are all singing, running through the scales, borrowing each other's notes, rattling the sorrow and insisting on joy. This is the phoenix, a song in the dark. There are some things happening today and throughout the spring that I started scheming about a year ago. It takes time to bring things to fruition. Hope means patience. Hope means remembering that just because something doesn't happen when I want it to happen, doesn't mean that things aren't moving. Take courage, my soul, let us journey on. About a year ago, I started to articulate what I thought was some of the essential work of congregational life. And I mean the deep spiritual work of church life. The work that moves our souls, changes our lives. The work under the work. And Marianne has already reminded you of the four things that I have articulated about this. That this be a place where we all find a spiritual practice, whether that's meditation or Tai Chi, yoga, Taekwondo. And today, at long last, We have a meditation class being offered here in our congregation. This is a one-time class just to light the spark. You've already been introduced to our teacher, and we hope to have her back many times for longer classes, for classes on Sundays and not on Sundays. And I have been plugging away at my online meditation class, which is wonderful if amusing. Because for one thing, I have learned that reading meditation theory at midnight is not the ideal way to ground one's practice. So when I get it all worked out about how to sustain a steady meditation practice while raising a young, energetic child and working full-time, I will absolutely share the secret of that with you. Until then, take courage, my soul. We journey on. And the next piece of deep work that I want this place, and I think all congregations, to take on is that this be a place where we can talk about anything. Anything. It might sound simple at first, but you know it's not easy. Being able to talk about anything means being able to have hard conversations with each other, being willing to say things and hear things that are sometimes painful, sometimes surprising, and hopefully liberating in the end. Being a place where we can talk about anything means making agreements with each other in this community about how we can be respectful while being honest. It means having agreements about what needs to be confidential and what can't be. It means learning to set up conversations in groups that can hold big emotions and difficult subjects, and then let those things be just as they are. Being able to talk about anything together means learning to distinguish in our own minds what is emotion and what is our thinking. We have to distinguish those frequently, and most of the time we confuse them. How often do we think that we're being very clear about something only to realize the next day or the next week, not as clear as we thought, just reacting from an old story or an old confusion, which is part of being human together. To sort that out. So being a place where we can talk about anything means that we have to do our work to understand our own inner lives, our own patterns, our own demons, and then learn how to understand compassionately each other's patterns and demons. Of course, we meet those in each other all the time, and we just don't know how to talk about it. So I want this to grow into a place where we really can talk about anything, from the disappointments and confusions between members of this congregation to the painful realities of living in this world, to the losses and the fears that come to us as part of being human. We have to systematically teach ourselves how to ride the tides of this complex living. One of the reasons that I signed up for that online meditation class is that I'm pretty sure that when I have a good meditation practice, I'm better at riding those tides. I'm better at being present for whatever conversation comes up. And I signed up for this particular one because it's a Vipassana Buddhist meditation practice. And you don't have to sort out what that means about of all of the options out there. I signed up for it because it's the kind of meditation that Joanna Macy does. And I have been studying her and watching her, and I want what she has. You may recall that I did four services about Joanna Macy's work back in January, about the great turning. And I met her when I was at a workshop in California at the beginning of February. So I already knew she was fantastic, and then I got to sit next to her at a meal, and I thought... So she's articulated this practice that she has now sort of set loose in the world, hoping that lots of people will learn to use it, that it's not about her, that it's about everyone getting to participate in this great turning of the world, the turning of our society from something that's focused on profit and growth to a society that's focused on life and on making sure that what we do and how we do it is life-giving every step of the way. Joanna Macy calls it the work that reconnects. It starts by noticing our gratitude, moves to honoring our very real pain, then invites us to see the world with fresh eyes before we go forth to take action and deepen our connections to life in all forms. So I met her at the beginning of February, and then later that month, there was a workshop at Ferry Beach, which is about an hour up the road, a UU camp and conference center. Someone was doing a workshop about this work that reconnects. And I love it when things come together. So a group of us went up there and participated in that workshop. And I knew that what was happening in that room was fantastic within the first 5 minutes of walking in. So I immediately invited the facilitator to come here and offer the same workshop to our congregation and to the community around us. I loved it because I could see that it honored people feeling whatever they felt. And then the process gave us ways to work with each other, as well as make some commitments for our own next steps in the world. It was an absolutely beautiful experience of what forming collective action can look like. It was just a little over a year ago that I began a conversation with some of our members about the call to our spiritual communities to respond to the global climate crisis. And that call is real. It's not coming from our civic leaders. It's coming from the earth and from our own inner sensibilities. And it's a call that says that everything has changed in the world. That everything has changed, we just haven't always noticed. But we're called to change how we live. It's true about how we use energy. It's true about how we do church here. It's true about everything, everywhere. It's a call to a new kind of collective action. And that is what I think the third deep purpose of congregational life is, for us to be a place where we build on our spiritual practices and our capacities to talk about anything, and then create connections and patience to take action in the world together. It's important to notice that I did not say that this be a place of action, but a place of collective action. There's something that happens when we decide and act together. When we support and challenge each other, when we hope and despair together. There's something that happens when we get on each other's nerves, yes, and work it out, and then have a larger vision and a longer endurance for what is possible, but not yet happening. The civil rights movement did not happen just because Martin Luther King Jr. found his voice. It happened because hundreds and thousands of people stood up, spoke up, acted up. And those hundreds and thousands of people trained themselves pretty systematically in nonviolent thinking and nonviolent action. It was a steady collective action. There were amazing leaders, and It would not have happened if there hadn't been people in every church and every community choosing to act differently and think differently and ground what they were doing in their deep spiritual lives. It is time for that again. And you are quietly doing that work. You show up, you speak up, you cook, you clean the earth. But we do it quietly, which is the New England way. And I think it is one of our deep purposes to be a place of ultimate hope, which means a place that claims a hope that is bigger than any of our individual losses or failures, a hope that is bigger than our individual lives. It's a big hope that I think we're called to be in the world. Maybe not a shiny neon one, but a big one. Which means it has to be really public. You have to see it whenever you look at our town, whenever you look at our state. I too struggle with that part of being really public, about my hope, about my life, about what I think is possible. But I'm pretty sure that my tendency to not be big or public is just an old pattern, one of those little demons that I walk around with. And I've thought about this for a long time and talked it over with quite a few of you and many of my colleagues. And I'm pretty clear that it's our role as a congregation and my role to be big public hope, to organize ourselves so that no one can miss us and what we're making possible in this world. We are an organization that is separate from the secular and governmental structures, and we have a different purpose and calling. And I think our calling is that the world's deep need is for us to be boldly, publicly, unabashedly proclaiming a hope and a possibility that others are too conflicted or uncertain to claim. So maybe join me in an online Vipassana meditation class. Maybe you come to the meditation class today. Find whatever it is that helps you be steady enough to have those bright eyes for the world, to grab each other and talk about anything, to come to this place and talk about what we can cook up together. Participate in the things that are unfolding here, both about how we can make a space where we can gather not only ourselves, but our much wider community for creation. Come to all of the events in April that are part of building a new response to climate change. Come to the Mother's Day Peace March, in which we respond to the violence that is unnecessary in our world. But we're going to respond with flowers that are this big and walk through our town saying there's a different way to live, and we claim it as Unitarian Universalists. Join me in blossoming this spring into a new way of living. I put out the light of the chalice in this room, but take that flame with you and be hope in the world. Please join in our unison benediction. The words are printed in the order of service. Go in peace.
Speak truth. Give thanks each day. Respect the earth and all creatures, for they are alive like you. Care for your body. It is a wondrous gift. Be gentle with yourself.